Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. We certainly hope you're enjoying your global warming. I don't know. I know I am. Huh? And I'm glad spring's here a month early. And winter never really was. But hey, that's just
We're
me.
We're going to have to agree to disagree.
Oh, that's right. You like a little winter, don't you? Yeah.
I like a little a little bit more than we've had. But
having grown up in New England.
Yeah.
Well, they got some
Yeah, that's too much. You see, my comfort zone is really small.
You're like a happy medium.
Yeah,
of winter,
God,
huh?
God gets tired of my griping because I look at New England and go, I'm glad I'm not up there with that much winter. But
you know, the interesting thing is it's warmer across a lot of the country than normal, but it's colder in Southern California. Cooler in Southern California than it's been. So just don't make a judgment on global warming based on where you live on that day. Although many of us.
They always say weather is not climate.
Weather is not climate. Yeah, you have to. And, you know, it's a different. We've been cooling for, 15, 20 years as a globe. So that's about all I care to talk about that. I'm just saying that warmer weather means more fishing, means more golf. It's good for the economy. So there you go.
Yeah.
And people
and I actually do like yard work. Yeah. I just wasn't prepared to start doing it in February. That's all I'm saying. You got to get mentally prepared.
This is February what? And I just saw Chicago 20th. Was having 60 degree weather, and they said it was record for them. All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim and Ed and Walker. Good morning, Walker. Again.
Good morning.
By the way, when's your baby due?
June 25th.
June 25th, Walker and his wife, Lexi.
I have a summer baby.
Will be having their first child.
Mm-hmm.
And
we have actually one of our monthly checkups today, so I'll get to see the baby on the ultrasound today.
What's that like?
It's amazing, seeing the child on the ultrasound, seeing it move, its heartbeat.
You never saw that?
I did, but I just thought people would like to hear it from Walker.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
It's advanced. It's advanced since we did ours.
It has. Yeah. I mean, the doctor actually brings in a portable, it's almost like a tablet with a ultrasound thing. And so he, instead of having to get the big machine out and sit in the big chair,
I didn't know that.
He just comes in and puts it on my wife's stomach and we can see the child moving.
Now we didn't have that
when
you were born, Walker.
Yeah, it's fancy. I actually was joking with the doctor. I said, "How much one of those things cost?" My wife. I might get my wife one of those, even though it would keep her preoccupied for a long time.
Then he said $250,000, and he said, "Oh, okay."
Yeah, no, he was like, "This thing's refurbished, and it was like $5,000." And I said, "No, we'll just come to
you." You're gonna have to come down off that price.
Yeah,
I'll get one on eBay if I have to.
That's right. You have to come down.
But the new technology on being able to see your child before they're born is amazing. And I think it's one of the reasons we've seen some of the abortion rates go down over the past few years.
Right. It's because when young ladies see the baby moving, they know it's a baby.
Yeah.
But it's out of sight, out of mind. But when you see it on the ultrasound and in the high definition that we have today. So my grandson and your son is how many months away from coming into
just
the world?
4 months out.
4 months out from coming into the world.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Amen.
For babies.
Gotta love grandkids.
Grandchildren.
We're excited.
Amen, brother.
And
play with them.
I'm also building.
Give them some sugar and send them home.
That's right.
I'm building, you know this, Dad, but I'm building with a fellow worker here, Randy. He's helping me build my child's baby bed.
Yes.
Hand building it.
Yeah, how's it? I mean, you're talking about in a carpenter shop.
Yes, yeah.
You guys are working on that a couple times a week,
mm-hmm.
and so you're going to be building. You're building your. So when it's done, you'll have your. You would have built your own.
It's taken a long time, and Randy, the fellow who's helping me build it, said you're gonna when you get done building this because it takes so long. You put in so much work. He said every morning before work, you're gonna walk in there,
look at
and not only look at your child, but you're going to look at the bed and say,
I built that.
Yeah, I built that.
I built
that. And everyone that comes to your house is going to have to go in the baby bedroom.
See the baby and see the bed.
Yeah. I just got a confession to make, Walker. I never built y'all's baby beds, you and your brother and sister. Now, I did make a paddle. In
Board of Education?
In ninth grade shop class.
Yeah.
No, a canoe paddle.
Oh, okay.
I made a canoe paddle in ninth grade shop class.
Oh, I thought this was for
I don't know where that is. Whoopings. In the attic, I think, or something. I don't know where that – well, I don't have an attic anymore, so I don't know whatever became of that. It's probably worth
in
a lot.
In the landfill?
It's probably worth a lot of money out there somewhere. As people – maybe it's in a museum on how not to make a paddle. that to use in your canoe. All right, Steve Jordahl.
Hey, good morning.
Did you ever make anything in shop class, Steve?
No, I was always, when we had the choice between shop class and all those kind of things, I always chose choir. So I'm a musician guy.
You didn't go to build anything.
Not really.
You built great music.
I built great music. The best thing that ever happened to me, though, I will say, is in high school, one of my parents' friends owned a hardware store and a lumberyard, and they sent me to work at the hardware store and lumberyard. I worked in the plumbing and electrical department. I learned more stuff that has stuck with me that I have used over the years there than I could even imagine.
And Steve does have a – I'll say this. We tease each other on the show. Steve's got a good voice. I've heard him sing.
Yeah, he sings in the choir at our church.
Right.
Yeah. I want to go back. Can I go back to something that you said?
Let me say one thing, Steve, and then you can go back as far as you want to, my friend. You can just go back 20 years if you want, but I need to say one thing relative to this shop class and building and
go for it
and so forth. I was at Lowe's about 6 months ago, and I was paying for something, and they have a rack of magazines up there, as you on how all kind of magazines on home improvement. And so I'm standing in line paying for something, and I glance over at the magazines, and there's one magazine. I'm kidding you not. The title of it was "How to Wire Your Home Yourself."
Oh my goodness!
No, I'm not kidding. How to wire your house. You and so I mean
that's one thing. That's one job you leave up to a professional.
I think it's like 17 pages long, 16 pages of blank, and then the 17th page says "Don't."
Don't do it.
You should not. Why, be able
are
to,
you serious? Wire your house.
Yes,
yourself?
You should not be able to sell a magazine where you're encouraging people, especially a lot of men who think they could do a lot of things that they can't.
That's
anyway.
Like saying how to remove your appendix yourself.
that's what I thought, Ed.
Yeah.
I thought this should not be legal. I turned the magazine around and buried it in the bottom. I'm trying to save somebody.
Like you do with Cosmopolitan magazines. Turn it around.
I was trying to save somebody a lot of grief there. But anyway, How to Wire Your House Yourself magazine there.
Wow.
All right. Here it is right here. See, I'm kidding, Ed. Look at that. That's on my phone.
Wiring.
What's the name
wiring
of it?
Wiring a House. But this says for pros, by pros. But if you're a pro, do you really need to buy a book?
Well,
on a magazine?
Right, exactly. Wiring a house. Anyway, there you go.
That's how they escape. That's how they get the get out of the legal ramifications. No, this is a book for pros by pros.
Well, I think that's the publisher.
Yeah.
I don't know. Wiring. You're right, though. You should not have. Do you want to go look? Do you want to invite an electrician over to your house to fix something? You come home and he's got a magazine. He's got a magazine out.
Right.
Well, he's looking at the magazine at like you do how to put something together book. No, I don't think you want to see that.
Yeah, and then
that.
You hear him say, how come they don't just write them just English? How come I have to have the German version, the Japanese version?
Anyway.
You know what? You mean you don't know how to do this? Yeah, of course
Walker,
I do.
I'm
a pro, but I'm just using this magazine.
Mark, I'm going to send you this. Maybe you can put it up on our Today's Issues Facebook page so people can see I'm serious about this. All right, Steve,
hey.
Back to the real world of news.
Well, no, actually,
something that I
wanted
said.
I wanted to go back to Ed saying that he liked to do yard work after the show. I've got an address to give you.
No,
it's my address.
I like my yard work.
Except
I will say this, except the hard stuff, I'm starting to think I'm going to start paying some young people to do some of this.
Yeah.
Like the digging and
pine
straw,
for sure. Yeah. I got some.
Yeah.
Get with me.
Yeah.
You
got somebody I can hire?
I got somebody who put pine straw out pretty cheap. Yeah.
So, top of the page, can I plug what's at the top of the page at onenewsnow.com?
You certainly may, Steve.
onenewsnow.com. Top of the page, we have a story that it's a column by Michael Haverluck talking about millennials and how they view evangelicals, Muslims, and atheists equally favorable, but Buddhists are their favorite. So, a lack of discernment.
Wow.
And our poll question is, what do you think has the greatest influence on millennials' perceptions about various religious groups? Is it like the entertainment industry, peers, church? So go to onenewsnow.com. You could take part in both of those. I am alarmed, Tim, about some things that I'm seeing in my news today. Can I share something with you?
You share, Steve, because that's what Christians do.
Yes, we do.
And we're all about making sharing. You feel better about right. yourself.
Over the weekend,
share your heart.
Over the weekend in Detroit, the so-called Nation of Islam, this is the Louis Farrakhan
right.
group, had its annual gatherings, and ISIS, the Arab Muslims in the Middle East, and the Nation of Islam, African American Muslims here in the United States might seem worlds apart. They're really not that far apart. We've heard about ISIS's claim that they want to dominate the world. And you've heard also about every time there's a terror attack from ISIS, you hear this phrase that is shouted beforehand, the God is great. I want you to hear what happened in Detroit at this meeting when Louis Farrakhan was being introduced. This is cut two. That's in Detroit, and those are Americans shouting Allahu Akbar.
Which means in Arabic, God is great.
Allah is great, actually. Right. I want to make a distinction because I don't believe they're speaking about the same God that I refer right. to as God, but Allah is great. So in his speech, Mr. Farrakhan had this to say about the Nation of Israel. This is cut four.
I want to disabuse the Jews today of the false claim that you are the chosen of God and that Israel or Palestine belongs to you. I want to disabuse you of that. I want to make it so clear and I'm going to tell you about your future. You that think you have power to frighten and dominate the peoples of the world, I'm here to announce the end of your time.
Sound a little familiar to what you're hearing out of the Middle East?
That was in Detroit.
Oh, wow.
Nation of Islam leader
Louis Farrakhan.
Well, in Detroit has a in Dearborn, the suburb of Detroit. That's a huge Muslim population.
But this isn't
largest.
But this isn't those Muslims.
Right.
This isn't the refugees that we're getting or the immigrants from Syria and all those.
That Somalia.
this is Louis Farrakhan. This is the same Muslim faith that Muhammad Ali was converted to back in the 60s. They've been around for a long time, and they've been preaching this kind of stuff for a long time. But it's reminding me of what I'm hearing from ISIS, and another thing that struck my attention as well.
Now, let me just correct you there. You're not hearing anything directly from ISIS. You're hearing, just so people who are listening know,
my tinfoil hat is not on right now.
Yes,
I'm not getting
you're not
transmissions.
In connection with ISIS.
No, but this is what you hear from them. Can we play cut three real quick?
Right. But I'm here to announce today the end of his world.
His being the white man.
And the beginning of a brand new reality that all human beings will enjoy peace, freedom, justice, and equality under the rule and the guidance of Allah.
Okay. Yeah.
They'll enjoy peace as long as you submit.
That's what Islam defines as. So this is going on in Detroit. This is going on in this country. And in case you think it's just a random happening of events in one little area of our world, there was a protest also over the weekend that took place at Times Square. It's an I Am Muslim Too protest. I saw pictures of a lot of celebrities. Susan Sarandon was there. Chelsea Clinton was there with her daughter. And this was what you heard in the middle of Times Square this weekend. So that's the Islamic call to prayer going out, and you should see the reverence and the silence with which these protesters who shout down anything conservative were standing as that call to prayer went out. And there's a political point that is being made in this country, a battle, I think, between those that want to keep America safe from potential terror attacks and those that feel that we are perhaps being a little too hysterical about the danger from Muslims. That's a political debate that this country can have. Maybe it should have. But I'm sensing a spiritual darkness in all of this that I'm trying to track it down. But I remember hearing somewhere that wherever that call to prayer goes out, Muslims claim that territory and they don't give it back. And the energy, the things that they're doing are aligning. Their priorities are aligning so that people like the Nation of Islam in this country and ISIS over in the Middle East, and to whatever extent Islam, as we've seen it invading Europe and tearing France and England to some degree and Germany and now Sweden apart, is coming here. And it's a spiritual battle, even more than I believe that it's a political battle.
Yeah, and also the term to label that, what you're explaining is, as far as taking over territory, is civilized jihad. I mean, they don't come in guns blazing to take over our country. They come in, you know, quote, peacefully and quietly into our midst.
Hiraj, I think, is what they call it.
And then before you know it, just like Europe, half the countries are, you know, a large portion of the countries Muslim, and they start, you know, trying to enforce their worldview.
Well, even harken back to the article that I referenced at the top of the page at onenewsnow.com, where millennials are seeing an immoral equivalence between Christianity and Islam and atheism. There's a lack of discernment there.
Well, and I was going to say, you know, for our listeners, I'm going to make an initial point. It's going to sound like I'm dismissing what you're saying, Steve. It's not. The number of Muslims, the percentage of Muslims in the U.S. is actually very low. But I do agree this is part of a spiritual war against the Christian foundations of this country, because the reason you see Susan Sarandon and Chelsea Clinton at this, I mean, they're not Muslim. So what are they doing there? What they're actually doing, whether they're consciously doing it or not, is they are continuing the push in this country to strip away the Christian foundations of this nation. And by showing deference to Islam, they're saying, see, Christians, you're not the only ones who count, in parentheses, therefore you don't count at all. And that, I think, is part. That's why atheism and Islam actually have something in common. They wouldn't admit it. No good Muslim would, you know, say, I'm an atheist. The reason they're together and part of the same spiritual movement is because Christianity is the ultimate
enemy of both.
Enemy.
To prove or lend to your point is, you don't see the Freedom From Religion Foundation suing Muslims.
Right.
They just don't battle each other because there's no need to. They're all coming after, we're the main target, the Christians are.
I think what you said, Ed, about maybe Chelsea and Susan Sarandon et al., and there was a lot of, let's just say, Caucasian or white Americans, white people that participated in this thing, that they might not be aware of exactly everything that they're doing. That's the definition of a spiritual battle.
And Susan Sarandon and Chelsea Clinton?
Yeah.
Try doing this in Saudi Arabia.
I am a Christian,
right.
Too.
Were they out there with the men?
Yep.
I didn't see it.
Yeah.
There was a mixed crowd.
Well,
yeah.
You go to Saudi Arabia, women can't drive. Susan. Right.
Much
Chelsea,
less lead a protest.
So you could, so Susan and Chelsea, so you couldn't have driven to this event.
Right.
You couldn't be together with men.
They have you can't, in a park in Riyadh in Saudi Arabia, you can't have a Jesus rally.
No. You have to be clothed head to foot, basically. I'm just saying it's easy for these Western celebrities to join in a day when they're saying we're all Muslims now. This is in response to President Trump's seven-country travel ban, which most of those countries are dominated by Muslims. This is what this is a reaction to. But these women here, in this case, these celebrity women, are fools if they think that Islam would be good for America if it took over.
Much less good for women.
Right.
Do what?
Much less good for women.
Yeah. So they don't. Do they even know? Would they even know what Islam teaches about women? Ed, do you think?
I think it's irrelevant to these people. They don't care because being self-contradictory doesn't. You know, it's like a company like PayPal. Remember when they beat up on North Carolina because North Carolina didn't want men going into women's restrooms?
Right.
Yet they were going to open one of their operational centers in Indonesia, wasn't it, or Malaysia? Right?
Malaysia,
where they throw gays off buildings.
Yeah.
So you say, can't you see the contradiction in this? It doesn't matter. They're making a point here in this country. And that's all that counts for them.
But I just wondered, would they go to a Billy Graham, crusade in New York, Susan and Chelsea, make a point that we're all Christians today?
Right.
No?
No.
No.
Oh, you wouldn't see that? Okay. Just wanted to double check on that one.
You're pretty right, I think.
All right. So, Steve, thank you for bringing us this news today.
Good news, as always.
Well,
huh?
You know, some of it's good, some of it's bad, but it's what's going on in the real world, so to speak. Walker, what do we got up there on our Facebook page for today's issues?
Well, on a lighter note, I posted the picture that you sent me.
Oh, you did post it? I sent that off my cell phone. So that if the picture looks funny, it's because it's off my cell phone, but I took it at Lowe's, where they had the magazines up about how to wire your house.
Yeah. So I posted the picture of the book, our instruction manual, titled Wiring a House for Beginners.
Is that what it says? I don't know if it's for beginners, but that's the way I took it. Yeah. I took it, like Ed said earlier, if you should not have a magazine on your shelf that's how to wire your house or how to wire a house.
I have how-to books at the house. You know, how to change it, you know, faucet, replace the pipes,
right,
those kind of things.
But not wiring.
But not wiring.
If you mess a plumbing thing up, you're sorry in your own home. If you mess a wiring thing up, the whole neighborhood is sorry.
Yes, that's right, and your home is no more.
Next thing we're going to have is wiring a house for dummies.
Yeah.
Huh? On sale.
There's many of those books.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, man.
So check out our Today's Issues Facebook page. As always, we thank you, folks, for listening to this program, and we hope that you'll stay with us throughout the day here on American Family Radio. We've got the Bible teaching of Alistair Begg straight ahead, then Janet Mefford, Brian Fisher, and the rest of the day here on AFR. Take care, everybody.